You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to get brutally honest.
He has a pro barrel. Like, I call it an executive pro barrel. It's like elongated and it's weird.
It's, and the hair is blowing, man. His whole look is something else.
Quiet.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Noodles in Ottawa tonight calling the Sens Wings game, and their GM, Pierre Dorion, will speak with the media here at any moment. We're making the assumption that he's going to give some sort of an injury update, but could it be about Erik Karlsson? I mean, Karlsson flew in last night. He played over 30 minutes, and he looked really good. Can't imagine he wouldn't play tonight.
I can't imagine he's delivering good news. Whenever a general manager is addressing the media, it's usually an update of the negative variety.
Well, we'll keep you up to date on that. And the Leafs are in action tonight. Washington and town. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. Watching on TSN 4. Ray will have the call on TSN 4. He'll join us here in a moment. The Bruins are at home against Tampa. Stamkos will not play tonight. The Leafs can clinch tonight if they win in regulation or in overtime, and Tampa loses in any fashion in Boston. So it could be a clinch night, but this will not be an easy game. Curtis McElhinney will get the start. Leafs coming off a game last night. Leafs coming off the road. Washington might be the best team in the league. This is not going to be an easy one tonight, but it would send quite the message if they came out hot and played well. And even just stayed in this game tonight, considering the back-to-back and the road games.
Get a point. Get it to overtime. Who cares? Just stay in it.
Stay in it. Keep plugging away. So Ray will join us here in a moment. Big news in the NFL today. Tony Romo hanging him up and moving right into the booth. The number one color analyst on CBS. This guy's going to be calling a Super Bowl in 2 years. Phil Sims, your boy, is out.
Does that mean he's, like, fired, no job? Or
I don't know what the update is on Phil. They don't even hook anyone up with an update on Phil.
That's got to be tough on him, man. Like, regardless of what you thought of him or what you thought of him as a broadcaster, it's a tough gig when you're just like, you're gone. Tony Romo's our guy now. Just like being in sports where it's like you become the older guy and it's like, you're out.
It's not easy.
No.
Now, Phil Sims has probably made a lot of money, and he's been doing it for a long time. And I'm not his biggest fan. I'll admit to that. He's been a whipping boy. I think there's some prejudice because...
Dude, you got it made. You're the host. Not former athletes can't do what you do.
Yeah, but
it's all about how current you are, how relevant. I know darn well if a Maple Leaf, a lot more current than me, wants to do this job, they'll say, get the hell out of that chair. This guy's in.
Not if they're not any good. I mean, CBS they're gambling here. Romo's never done this before.
No kidding. He could be garbage.
What if he's awful?
If he doesn't take it seriously and do his work and research and watch games and film and do all that stuff that to be a good broadcaster you have to do, they're going to have a problem on their hands.
He leveraged his situation beautifully because he could still play. He could still play. I don't know if he could hold up. I don't think he would hold up, but he could still play. Houston, I think, would take him in a heartbeat. I think a couple of other teams would do the same. He used the ability to play to leverage his way in to the number one color analyst for CBS. And he pounced, and I'm sure they're paying him a fortune. You know he's making a lot of money. But the thing is, it goes both ways. You say that former athletes couldn't do what I do. That's not necessarily true, but also guys like me can't just walk out of the NFL or the NHL and step right onto the booth, right? Like, I know a lot of people are complaining today, like broadcasters, and they're like, well, we go to school for this and we work our way up. Romo's walking right off the field into the booth, but that's the way it works.
People complaining are the people that nobody wants to hear what they have to say, so they got to suck on that one.
Well, and that's the truth. Tony Romo... I'll tell you how he got prepared, by playing 15 years in the NFL.
No kidding, because I hear people all the time, they're like, I want to be on air. And it's kind of ignorant, but my next question is, why would people want to hear what you have to say? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, well, that's what you got to figure out.
It's like you never get my Seinfeld references, but when Costanza got fired early in the series and he's like, I could be a color commentator for baseball. It's like, I always have interesting things to say when we watch the game. And Jerry's like, yeah, but they usually give that job to former ball players. He's like, well, that's not very fair. And it's not, but Costanza, no one cares about you.
No.
All right, let's bring in Ray. And Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Ray, this is actually probably hits home a little bit for you. I guess you're TSN's Phil Sims, in a way. How would you feel about Romo stepping in and knocking you out of your gig?
I would say it's possible to happen, right? I mean, if a guy comes off the ice and he's more current and he is able to form a thought and make it into a point that people are interested in, then they're always going to take the more current guy
all day long.
Yeah, like that's just the way it is. And I would say, like, you know, as you bring it up in relation to me, I mean, it's one of the reasons I'm like, I think I work really hard at this, because eventually somebody's going to retire here and they're going to say, they're going to say, I'm going to be stupid enough to travel around like that idiot Ray does, and I want to do his job. And they're going to go, yeah, we want the more current guy. So like Phil Sims has been the number one analyst for I don't even know how long, but there's a great majority of viewers that don't remember him as the Giants quarterback and a Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm.
They're now just charting what he says and making up internet memes of whatever Phil Sims is talking about. But Tony Romo is new and exciting, and he played for the most popular franchise, whether you love or hate, in the Dallas Cowboys. And it got to him that I don't want to get banged around anymore. I want to do something else. So I'm interested to hear how he'll sound. You know, is he prepared? Of course he is. He'll figure it out. Wait till he'll screw up a few times and he'll figure out what it's like when somebody's talking in your ear and you're talking about something else and you got to straighten it out in your own head. But he'll get that. And hell, he's been reading defenses for 15 years. I'm sure he can figure out a teleprompter.
Ray, quickly, I'm going through Twitter and I believe Pierre Dorion has just announced in Ottawa that Clark MacArthur will play tonight. What do you make of that?
I couldn't be more surprised, though.
Me too.
You know, like last night I did the game in Detroit, and in the morning skate, Dorion was dealing with, not that we knew at the time, but as it turned out, we put it together pretty easily. He was dealing with Carlson skating and then having to get him on a flight and get him to Detroit. And their team is, you know, they had just announced that Smith, CeCe, and Mathot weren't going to play for the rest of the regular season. I mean, so many moving parts around him. And, you know, and then last night they lose in the shootout, and you could just see the stress in his face. And in his back pocket was Clark MacArthur. And, you know, for people that don't know Clark, he is an awesome guy. And I really hope that this goes well for him. It's going to be really difficult. Can you imagine basically being off for 18 months, and not only do you step into a game, but you step into a game with playoff implications at playoff pace? Like, you can't even meander your way through the preseason. You're hitting the ground running uphill while everyone else is going the other way, and it's going to be really hard for him.
This is like out of left field, isn't it? Like, I haven't heard Wally talking about him skating, practicing, anything.
Well, he has been on the ice. He has been skating a bit. He must have passed the baseline somewhere. He can remember when he was taking the baseline before they shut him down, what seemed like for the season. We all knew about it because it was forefront in the news. This one, he could have taken the baseline 10 times. We wouldn't have known about it because he's been away from the team for a long time. I couldn't be more surprised that he's going to be in the lineup tonight. And I honestly, I really, really wish him well because he is a really good guy.
Yeah, it would be one hell of a story. It's a great story anyway. He hasn't played in years, and due to concussions, he suffered multiple concussions, one at the hands of a teammate during training camp this year. It was a scrimmage, and a rookie came in and just plowed him from behind, and he hasn't played in all year. He hasn't played all year.
4 concussions in 18 months.
It makes you a bit nervous, though, doesn't it, that he's playing tonight?
Oh, 100%. I can see it from his point. Like, he's 31 years old. You know, he says he feels great, and he's been doing nothing but training for all season. So, of course, he feels good. He doesn't have any bumps and bruises on him. He hasn't been knocked around in a while. But he's going to get knocked around. And, I can't imagine. Like, I'm sure his wife and his family, they must be nervous for him, for sure. I mean, he's got 2 small kids, and there's a lot on the line here, and there's a stubbornness to it that you don't ever want to think that you're not, that you're done, that you want to leave on your own terms. But this is different than having a bad knee, right? I mean, I think we've clearly seen that that's the case. Now, he must have been cleared by layers of doctors here. I mean, there's no way Ottawa is just going to say, oh yeah, you know, we gave you the concussion test and yeah, you're fine, out you go. I mean, it's been far more detailed and intensive than that for him to get cleared.
Well, Clark MacArthur will play tonight, and Carlson, he flew in last night on a private bird and he got on the ice. He played over 30 minutes and he played great. And yet Ottawa, they end up losing in a shootout. They're back in action tonight. You mentioned the family and the friends and the stands being nervous. I would think the same thing applied with Colin White last night. And that shootout, I think, it went 6 or 7 rounds without a goal? And then Svechnikov, who's a rookie for Detroit, but they're not playing for anything, goes out there and scores. I was a bit surprised they put that point on the line on the stick of Colin White. Were you surprised that they gave it to him in that situation last night?
I'm trying to think who was available, because Ryan was not. Ryan got hit in the face with a stick in the third period, late in the third, and he wasn't available for the rest of the third in overtime. So he was out of the mix. They went with 6 other forwards at that point. So they had left, they had Wingles, Kelly.
Dion.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting into the D. You got Frederick Claesson and Dion and Mark Borowiecki, and maybe Chris Weidman would have been the next choice. It was a tough spot for him, for sure. He didn't really get a shot off either, and so, you know, that kind of sucked for him. I mean, his parents are there and his mom's there, or mom and dad and sister are there, and I thought he acquitted himself pretty well for his first game. He looked nervous as all heck in the first period. And then played really good in the second, played a little bit more in the third when they were pushing for a little more offense. But you're right, it's a tough spot. I don't think they had many options at that point. You know, I mean, they'd used Turris and Hoffman and Brassard and Stone, and, you know, I mean, they didn't have anybody else, I guess. And that the fact that they came back from down 4-2 was an enormous point for them. They give up. Craig Anderson gave up 2 goals from behind the goal line.
Ooh.
I mean, that's hard to do.
And, well, Mrazek gave it back to them, though, in many ways.
Yeah, he gave 3 goals in the first 41 minutes. 3 goals went in at the same net from behind the goal line. Like, that was like a comedy of NHL goaltending. And then the Sens give up 2 power play goals in 5 minutes, and man, they don't get any points out of Detroit. They're in trouble. And they end up, you know, getting the 1 back. And I don't know if you had a chance to watch the overtime, if you're still locked in on the Leafs game, but it was the best overtime. I can't remember a better one. They, you know, 12 shots, 4 breakaways, about 10 grade A chances. It was spectacular entertainment.
It really was incredible. And you're right, I caught a bit of it, but I was locked in on the Leafs. And they roll into Buffalo, and that game was over 5 minutes in for the most part, and the Leafs just locked it down, and they're 11-2-1 in their last 14 games. And the amazing thing is, Ray, when you consider what Boston and Tampa have been doing over that same stretch run, the Leafs kind of had to go 11-2-1, right?
It's crazy.
Like, they had to do this.
A backstep. Like, none of them. The only one that has is Ottawa. But, every time, you know, that you tweeted something out on the weekend about, you know, and of course Tampa won or something. And I'm sure Tampa feels the same thing. Like, could Boston or Toronto lose a game soon? Like, this is crazy. We win and get nowhere. You just get to hang around longer. I'm really interested to see this tonight because you've got a fresh Washington team. The numbers in many respects are pretty similar. You know, the Capitals score the most goals or the second most goals in the first period. Toronto has the most. Washington's power play is 3 and their penalty killing is 7. And Toronto's power play is 2 and their penalty killing is 8. Like, it's just the same. You know, so there's some more experience on the other side. There's a team trying to stay out of that 2-3 matchup in their division, which would be a murderous first round series. And the Leafs are playing to clinch tonight, a win and a Tampa loss, and they're in. And you can go crazy in the studio, which I'm sure you will.
Oh yeah.
Will you be wearing Leaf attire if they clinch tomorrow?
Well, I might. I mean,
alumni jacket comes out again.
O wore the alumni jacket yesterday, and for some reason didn't wear it today. So,
do you have like a onesie sleeper thing?
We used to have those. Steph stole them all, though. I don't know where the hell those are.
I think that would be great attire for Hayes tomorrow.
I have one at home.
Oh, bring it.
I would never wear it out in public.
Just no gear underneath and just wear the onesie.
There were guys at the Centennial Classic. That was like a standard look for a lot of people at BMO Field.
Just the onesie?
In the onesie. And I'm sure they had like winter gear underneath, but we're walking around in the onesie.
But if you have no gear underneath, how do you take a leak? I mean, you're gearing down and it's on the floor and...
You get creative. Yeah. Well, dude, if you're at home, it's not like I'm at Wrigley Field. I'm not too worried about the sanitation. Right?
So you wouldn't be like that dude that put his food underneath the urinal?
No, I wouldn't go that far. The public embarrassment of me in a Maple Leaf onesie would be enough. I wouldn't need more circulating virally online.
Ray, we got a little bit crazy earlier in the 4 o'clock hour. We were talking about the coach of the Leafs. Do you think he's crept up into the coach of the year convo, or is that nuts?
You know what? If I'm voting today... I would vote for Babcock.
To win?
Yes.
Jesus, Murphy.
Because now the way I'm looking at it is the contenders that were there earlier, Bruce Boudreau's fallen by the wayside. Guy Boucher's fallen by the wayside. You've got Tortorella, who's done a terrific job in Columbus. You've got Todd McClellan, who's basically done what Mike Babcock's done here with a team that's bumbled around for a decade. And now they're in the playoffs. The difference is they have more veteran players, I would say, than Toronto. Toronto's gotten more had gotten more from a multitude of rookies, and I think that is that hangs a lot on coaching. So, and I would also say Joel Quenneville should get some votes too.
No question.
They have had a lineup that is anonymous in a lot of places around their stars, and man, he's pushed some buttons and found the right thing, and here are the Blackhawks again as the number one seed out west. I mean, those would be my contenders, but I think I would vote for Babcock.
I'm surprised. I mean, I'm not Clark MacArthur's playing tonight surprised, but I'm close to that because it feels like Tortorella had it in the bag, but I guess we thought Brent Burns had it in the bag, the Norris, like a month ago, and I would suggest Carlson is right there with him, if not passing him already. And, you know, Babcock, you got to give him credit. You got to give him credit. Look what he's done with all these kids and their power play and their PK. You just referenced it. That's coaching in a lot of ways, and they're both top 10 in the league.
Well, the other thing I would look at, too, is that the Leafs have not had an under 500 month since October. You know, maybe you know, even as cynical as I am at times looking at teams, you have to take a half a step back, or I have to take a half a step back and go, you know what? The Leafs are just good. I don't love their defense, but they've coached their way into using guys the right way to give them the best chances to succeed. And here they are sitting in second place in that second, third place position in their division. And there is nobody, not even you, Brian, had them in this position at the start of the year, right? Like even the most fervent Leaf fan wouldn't have gone, oh, yeah, I see a second place for the Leafs. Not a chance. Remember, we were like, yeah, they could compete for that wild card spot. And they still might end up there, but man, I think it's been an amazing, amazing progression to watch this team, and Babcock deserves a lot of credit for it.
Yeah, I thought before the year they'd be maybe where Carolina is right now, or the Islanders. You know, it got hot towards the end of the year, played well, got better progressively, but ended up with 87 points or something, you know, and missed out. And I thought that was realistically the ceiling. Like, there was still a chance they end up with 75 points and pick fifth or seventh.
Yeah.
You know,
and still consider it somewhat of a good year.
At least they got the reps. And, hey, Matthews is up for the Calder. And, hey, look at Freddie Anderson. He looked pretty solid for the most part. But they've just skyrocketed past any expectation. And it's funny the way that they've – we talked about culture way too much for a decade. Way too much. Because it's impossible to quantify. It's an intangible. You don't know exactly what it means. You don't know how to get it. It's something you can look in the rear view and say, oh, that's how it showed up. But you look at the lineage within this team, from Shanahan to Lou to Babcock to Matthews, Matthews doesn't flinch, right? He never says anything that will come back to haunt him or lead to a story or lead to phone lines being open where people could say,
or interesting or anything.
Yeah, and I know that's it's not provocative. It's boring. He's not a personality, but it's totally manipulated. He's not like this when he's hanging out with the buddies on the couch, but he's played this market beautifully at 19.
His, you know, I first heard about him and more about, you know, and met him a couple of times when he was at the National Development Program when my brother-in-law, Don, was coaching him there. And he kept telling me about this kid. And he's like, you're not going to believe him. Like, first when you meet him, like, he's, seems like he's 25 already, and then when you watch him play, you just can't believe it. And that's how he's been since the very beginning of the year. It just, like, literally looks like there is nothing that ruffles this kid. He's going to get a rough ride in the playoffs, and I suspect he'll just kind of keep his nose down and just keep working away. And you know, there's a Crosby quality to not saying anything crazy, not saying anything other than what your play tells everybody about you. And I mean, how could you not be impressed with everything about him this year?
Everything has gone, again, according to plan, but I don't even think that could have been the plan.
Yeah.
I don't think on September 15th, they're like, I see 70 points, 40 goals, rookie of the year, leads the team to the playoffs and maybe home ice. Like, that would have, you would have been laughed out of a room.
Well, do you think, you know, when, you know, people are talking about the roadmap and the plan of this rebuild. And so who thought they were going to have three rookies with 60 points? The last time that happened, the only other time it's happened, I read today, was the 1980-81 Nordiques. And that's when the Stastny brothers were like 25. You know, like they were already pro players when they came to Quebec.
Right.
And Michel Goulet was the other one. And they'd already played in the World Hockey Association. So, I mean, this is unprecedented what these guys have done, and he is the ringleader. He is, you know, we can look at this and say, you know, about how well everything's gone, but had they not gotten this player at the top of the draft, then everything would be different. It would just be different. And he gives them a stability and a, you know, like almost like a compass to follow. And I mean, this guy has got leader stamped all over him 42 different ways. He's going to be like, you know, Jeff and I talk about Ron Francis all the time, that, you know, Ronnie didn't say a whole lot as captain. You know, it wasn't like he was getting up making speeches, but when he said stuff, it just stamped on. Like, everybody was like, yep, that's it. And that's what my impression of Matthews is.
Well, interesting timing for Washington to roll through town because of the Olympic announcement yesterday. And there's so much media here, and there was going to be media down at the rink anyway because the Leafs are playing the way that they're playing. It's late in the season, and Ovechkin's here for only the second time. But, man, I'm sure the NHL wishes Ovi was in Arizona today or maybe in Florida, because his comments about going to the Olympics, they were going to ring out anyway. But, man, did they come flying out of that rink, and everyone's talking about it. And we had someone text in and a bunch of people tweet in, and it's an interesting question that is further down the road in terms of where this is all going, because people are focused on the immediate and the news that broke yesterday. But a lot of people tweeting in, and we agreed with it, intrigued to get your take on it. If he goes, but the rest of the NHL players don't. And Russia wins a gold.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? I mean, if Crosby's not there, McDavid's not there, Matthews isn't there, Hedman's not there, what does it mean? Like, it can't be equal to Crosby's two gold medals.
No, it wouldn't be. But here's, you know, I read this today. The vice president of Russian hockey has, you know, he has said that Ovechkin can't play unless he terminates his contract with the NHL like Ilya Kovalchuk did. He's not eligible to play because he's under contract in the NHL, and the bosses of that contract have said that the league isn't going. So he can say he's going, but he can't. There's nowhere for him to go to. And so I mean, that's another layer to this story that is, you know, just growing and just starting and going to go in 100 different directions. But if he did win gold and nobody else is there, it's not the same.
Yeah, it can't mean the same. And I think that's interesting what the official said in Russia, because, you know, the same story is coming from Hockey Canada and USA Hockey. They're way too connected to the NHL. They're not going to let, even if Crosby came out and said, yeah, I'm with Ovi, I'm going too, I think Hockey Canada would say, go ahead, pay your own flight, and you can sit in the stands. You're not playing for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole thing is a shame. I think, you know, like I heard somebody today say, you know, 20% of the players want to go, 80% want a holiday on the beach. And that's so false. 100% of the players want to play, just 80% of them aren't good enough. So that, you know, the cream of the cream goes to the tournament, but they all want to play. And so for however you want to look at this, one way that I have to view this is that the NHLPA let the players down here. Because if this was so, so important to them in the last collective bargaining agreement, it should have been in the writing of the agreement that the players were going to the Olympics. Now, maybe they thought that it was a non-issue, that the owners would always go, but they got burned here, and you can see by their comments that they're not very happy across the board. They wish they were going.
This story's not going anywhere. Leafs Caps tonight on TSN 4. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. You'll be between the benches. Enjoy it. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5 p.m.
And here's the next big thing that I got to get done. I see Masters is down the hall interviewing Nick Backstrom, which is great. I hope he finishes soon because I forgot cash and I need to eat in the press room, and I'm going to go take $20 from Masters because I hope he's got money. Otherwise, I'm going to be scraping on the floor for leftovers here.
Yeah, I wouldn't target Masters. He
Dude,
doesn't.
You just eat the meal. I didn't even know you had to pay for that. I had about 30 of them, and then I was like, you actually have to pay for this? They're like, yeah.
Yeah, well, you studio guys come down and they have their separate little list for you. Us knuckleheads, they've got us on, you know, pay-as-you-go thing. And so no. I hate to say it, Masters is my big hope here.
Wow, good luck with that, man. I don't like the chances, but Godspeed, Ray.
Yeah, we hope Masters Nation has got something going. Otherwise, I'm going to pummel him. I've had enough, man.
Hook him up. All right, buddy, enjoy it.
Later.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. We've got a Tony Romo poll up. We'll tell you about that. We'll update the status on it. We'll get back into Romo. Leaving the field, stepping right into the booth. And the Jays are off today. Bit of a heartbreaker yesterday. Back in action tomorrow. Dirk Hayhurst will join us. And
what Leaf would you want to replace me?
You're off the show and a Leaf comes in? A current Leaf?
Like Lupul? Would you say Lupul, you're in? Oh, Doug, you're out?
Lupul would be interesting.
No guy.
If Lupul was willing to be 100% honest.
Robida in, O-Dog out.
No.
No guy.
No guy.
I'm not sure if there's a, like, who's the personality? Kadri would be interesting. Wouldn't mind knowing what he said to Ristolainen after he potted that fourth goal last night.
He said suck on that one.
I think he did. And not in that particular language.
No guy.
No guy.
No guy.
Speaking of no guy, the Tapman and Patrick O'Sullivan will have the pregame and
they
intermission.
They are going to have a yes guy, no guy. We got to connect with Taddy again, don't we?
Yeah, we could maybe do that in the final segment, yeah. Get him back on the line.
We got to loop in and do a quick little yes guy, no guy.
All right, pregame at 7, puck drop at 7:30. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN 4. We'll talk some Jays, get back into Romo, Bobby Mack in studio at 6:20. We're humming along. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Sammy tweeting in at Hayes TSN. If you're going old school Maple Leafs, how about Eddie the Eagle Belfour in the O-Dog out? That could be interesting. Get the Eagle in here. Anyway, Dirk Ayers will join us here in a moment, our Blue Jays analyst. The Jays are off today. Heartbreaking loss in extras yesterday. Trumbo just leaning into a hanging slider from Grilly. And Grilly owned it postgame. I got a lot of time for Jason Grilly.
What'd he say? I can't throw him that?
He said, I threw a bad pitch, and he did what he's supposed to do. He crushed it. This is the majors. It's not spring training anymore. I got to be better. He got it. He didn't dodge it. He didn't say, I thought I pitched well, and hey, it happens. He was like, the guy got me.
It's only one game, but do you ever get, like, overreaction after one game? Like, do you ever, like, get a sense of, like, a vibe about the season or... You know, that I think 2-5 hitting was just garbage yesterday.
Well, Bautista went 0-5, and I think he left 8 men on base. But here's an example of overreaction Tuesday. He made a couple of really solid defensive plays.
Who cares?
He's not going to be great defensively this year. He will be very good offensively. So 0-5 at the dish, but 2 or 3 great defensive plays. I'm not going to overreact and pretend like he's going to win a Gold Glove this year. But bat below the Mendoza line.
Pretty sickitating, though, Edwin hitting that home run.
He's going to have a monster year. Cleveland, I think they're going to win the AL Central. I think there's a pretty good chance they go deep in the playoffs again.
Series.
They might. They might do what Kansas City did the previous 2 years.
They went to the World Series without their full starting rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they go back?
Left, right, and center. Yeah. They're favored to win probably close to 100 games and be the representative of the American League. And you add Edwin to that lineup, they're loaded. And, yeah, they're down 3-2, I think, going into the eighth, and the Parrott comes out, just bombs one, ties the game up. They put 3 on the board in the ninth. They win 8-5 or whatever it was, final score. I think it was 8-5. Tough to watch, but it's only one game.
I just go back to last year, and we talked about it. It's like he's the one guy you have, like, pay the man. Just pay the man.
It's a moot point
now. That
was
such a weird situation how it was like we thought he was going to blow the contract out of the water and never actually happened. And then he, I don't know.
He's getting paid $20 million a year, which relatively speaking is not that much for what he is as a
player. We were like open it for him.
His agent was thinking the same thing. His agent had to be thinking $30 million a year. $140, $150 million contract. Pays the man his money.
And give the man his money.
Pay that man his money.
We both got it wrong.
Pay, what is it? Pay.
Play it again.
Pay that man his money.
KGB. This Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Let's bring in Dirk Hayhurst. Dirk, what kind of year do you think Edwin will end up having in Cleveland?
Well, to keep working on the theme here, I think all the Blue Jays' dreams are, boop, down the drain. That's another Rounders quote, FYI. Okay, so, yeah, every time Edwin has a big night like he had on Indians opening day, you are going to see Blue Jays fans go, why, dear God, why didn't you just give him all of the monies, all that he wanted forever and ever until the end of time? And honestly, the Indians are going to threaten 100 games once this year. So I had the Indians. I picked them to win close to 100 games this year, if not easily winning 100 games this year. They've got one of the best rotations in the AL, one of the best young lineups in the AL, and 5 switch hitters on the team, but they've got 4 of them in the lineup on any given night, which is amazing. And do I even have to mention the bullpen? I mean, the Blue Jays pretty much saw their bullpen used as the starting rotation in the playoffs last season. And now they got their healthy guys back, which meant that bullpen got even stronger. So this is a great club, but it was a club that for certain parts of the season relied on a guy named Mike Napoli to do some long ball damage, which he did. He actually had a breakout year for the Indians, and they relied on that threatening, imposing presence in the lineup. Well, they upgraded that to Edwin Encarnacion, and he's getting the job done right out of the gate. So I think he's going to have a monster year, and he's going to have a lot of opportunities to, even if he doesn't have a monster year, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to at least drive in a ton of RBIs.
I'm with you. Not to mention Michael Brantley. I mean, you're right. They're loaded. They're a team that I don't think you're alone in that. People expect to rack up a lot of wins, and Edwin fits in beautifully for them. As for the Jays, the bullpen, it seems like it's a debate every year. How thin is the bullpen? What kind of turnover are we going to see? What kind of numbers are they going to put up? But the one constant we've had the past 2 years, and this year in particular, because of the amount of stock that he's built up, was that of Roberto Osuna. You know, okay, let's talk about the rest of the bullpen, but you can lock in the closer's role. And then he can't even get out of the spring without an injury, and he's on the DL, and they don't expect it to be long-term, but you're talking neck stiffness, upper back stiffness. How concerned are you that this could be a lingering issue for Osuna?
I don't think this is going to be, well, look, I'm no doctor. I haven't examined the guy's neck. But I got to tell you, I think this is a team realizing where it's weak right now, and that's the bullpen. I mean, Grilly already showed a chink in the armor last night. He got heavily reliant on the curveball, flips one in there, Trumbo takes some deep. Trumbo's going to do that to a lot of guys throughout the year. It was still a great game last night, but whatever. So after that, it gets, you know, J.P. Howell's a thumber. Loop is, who knows? You know, I mean, I think if they had a better option, he might not even be on the club. So it's not exactly a deep squad. And even Biagini and Grilly are being looked at to hand the ball off to Roberto Osuna. So if you know that your closer, Roberto Osuna, is going to get ridden like a horse throughout the year because he's the one guy that you feel like you can put him out there in any situation, and don't expect him just to close, guys. I mean, he's going to be doing 5-out saves, 2-inning saves. He's going to be out there a lot once he's back because the Blue Jays just don't have a lot of guys. John Gibbons just doesn't have a lot of guys they can look at and be like, that's my guy. I can always trust him, always feel good about the decision. No one's going to want to crucify me, new deal or no new deal. After a game, if I put him out there, I want him to be 100% bona fide healthy. So give him the 10 days. We'll put some other guys out there just to get them acclimated to this role as fail-safes because it would be nice if I could be comfortable with a few other guys. But honestly, if you know you're going to ride this guy into the ground throughout the regular season, at least start the season with them 100% healthy. And if it takes 10 days for you to do that, take him.
With Dirk Ahurst, our Jays analyst, I'm with you on the bullpen. That is my biggest concern coming into the season. The outfield position concerns me a bit, too. I wasn't surprised Upton Jr. got released. I mean, he was awful for them last year. He's at the end of his road. But it just accentuated how thin they are and how thin it could potentially get if Bautista and or Pilar run into injury. I mean, if Carrera's your everyday left fielder, and I think Pierce will get a lot of starts out there, you're potentially in a lot of trouble. Break down that position for us. I mean, if one of Bautista or Pilar end up injured and miss an extended period of time, how ugly could it get in the outfield?
Well, okay, so it's nice to have a guy like Pierce who is just off to a great start at the plate because that's going to mitigate a lot of sins out in the outfield. And let's be honest, he's the guy who replaces Jose Bautista, at least foot speed alone. I don't care what StatCast says about the probability of one of the catches that Jose Bautista made last night, 21% of whoever, who gives a crap. But the fact is I don't expect him to run down a lot of balls, and I don't expect him to be healthy for 120-plus games. I mean, I think he's going to miss 40 this year. It just seems the way that how Jose Bautista goes, and I think that's because he swings out of his butt when he gets a fastball cookie that he thinks he can take out of the park. If he's going to be more judicious at the plate and that gives us a higher defense quotient, I don't want it. No, thank you. I want production at the plate. That's where the Blue Jays are going to need it from him. They don't expect him to be a masterpiece in the outfield. I think they have guys like Grell. I think they have guys like Pompey. I think they have guys that can replace them. The Blue Jays are going to try and give them an opportunity to play a replacement part. So if one of these guys – now, look, I'm one of these guys, and I've only spoken about one. That's Jose Bautista. If he gets hurt, and I think we all expect him to be down for some amount of time, those guys are going to slide in and get some audition chances. And I'm fine with having Carrera, and I'm fine with having Pierce out there because we know that they can do the job. It's going to get really dicey if Pilar gets hurt because you're talking about a team that is built around starting rotation pitching now, and they rely on plus defenders. And there maybe is – okay, so Pilar may be one of the best defenders in the outfield in all of baseball. He's a gold glover. He's got incredible range. It's between him and somebody from the Rays. But
it really comes down to having a team that puts a lot of balls in play and having an outfield that can gobble up as many as possible. And I think if Pilar goes down, then you're really going to feel it. I'm not worried about his bat, but I am worried about him making every single pitcher on the rotation and in the bullpen better. And if you lose him, then there's going to be some question marks.
I would be worried about his bat if I was sitting above the Jays' dugout yesterday. I mean, he launched back-to-back bats into the stands. I mean, Showalter said after the game he's never seen it before. If he's never seen it, I can tell you I've never seen it before. Have you ever seen that before? Back-to-back swings into the same spot in the stands?
I feel like if somebody looked up some of Edwin Encarnacion's at-bats last year, there's been some consistency, at least not from swing to swing, then from at-bat to at-bat, where he has launched bats into the stands. And the only thing I can say for Pilar is you got the game one fresh new gloves on, and they smell so good in that fresh new glove leather. It just feels so nice on your skin. And you kind of get sucked into that. You forget to put the pine tar on there, bro. That's a rookie mistake. You can't make that on day one. But if you're going to do it, if you're going to throw two bats in the stands like it's hammer toss in the Olympics, you at least need to, on the next pitch, you need to fake to the stands like you're going to do it again anyways, just so everyone can laugh at you, and then you don't have to be, you know, the subject of ridicule and embarrassment for the rest of the season.
I'm with you on that. Great stuff, Dirk. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
There's Dirk Hayhurst, and this Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, in studio at 620. We'll get back into our poll question about Tony Romo, looking back on his career, and what will this next stage of his career look like? He's stepping right into the booth. The number one man on CBS alongside Jim Nance. And we're teeing up the Leaf game tonight. It could be a clinching evening for the Leafs. If they win tonight in regulation or in overtime and Tampa loses in Boston, prepare yourself for the playoffs. It could go down as early as tonight. We'll keep teeing that game up. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. All right, Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, in studio at 620. Leafs Caps tonight. Leafs could clinch tonight. Boston could clinch tonight as well. If they beat Tampa in regulation, they're in. Ottawa in action, back home against Detroit. Clark MacArthur is going to play for the first time since October 2015. He's had so many concussions, and he's back tonight. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm going to take Ottawa at home against Detroit. That's going to be very inspiring for that group, having MacArthur out there. They didn't play great last night. They've got injuries, but they're back home. Detroit's not playing for anything. I'll take Ottawa. I'm under the number Columbus-Pittsburgh tonight. That's a massive game. And Nashville, I think, will crush the Islanders tonight. Throw down 20 and you can score 72. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So this week is our final Maple Leaf lineup contest for the season. We're giving away tickets to Sunday's game with the Blue Jackets in town. And we're only doing this Monday through Thursday this week. And the theme is, with Matthews on the verge of scoring 40 goals, scored his 39th last night, the theme is former 40-goal scorers for the Maple Leafs. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Wilfie Paymon. Wilfie, who had 40 goals with the Leafs back in 1981. There's your Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. We've got a poll question up on Twitter featuring the career of Tony Romo. And if you're not aware of this, he has decided to hang him up. And he's walking right into the booth. He's going to be NFL and CBS's number one analyst. He's stepping right in there with Jim Nance. I believe they've got the Super Bowl next year. I'm pretty sure they have the Cowboys Thanksgiving Day game this year. So we'll talk a lot about that in the next hour. We'll keep teeing up the Leaf game tonight, spin you around the NHL. The O-Dog will be back in here. Bob McKenzie in studio. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.